Isn't that last verse just a wonderful verse? Join then the movement of love that frees, till people of whatever race or nation will truly be themselves, stand on their feet, see eye to eye with laughter and elation. What a great prayer for our world. Anyway, on Friday lunchtime, a group of women with an average age of about 50 met in the bar at Aberdeen train station. An excited gaggle of girls of a certain age heading to Inverness for a hen night. The bride was easily identified by her headgear, and the rest of the group by the t-shirts proudly announcing they were part of Angie's hen night in Inverness. A quick drink in the bar, then onto the train. A mix of delight and horror from fellow passengers that they would be sharing their journey with this excitable group. Each member of the group had their own gift bag labelled Hen Party. The bag contained an assortment of items, including wee bottles of Prosecco and plastic champagne flutes. Needless to say, these were the first items out of the bag. The journey to Inverness ensued with much laughter, more wine, but there were some nibbles to soak up the wine too. Arriving in Inverness a couple of hours later, it was a quick trip to the hotel to drop bags off before the night's entertainment. Fast forward a few hours, and the flock of hens were tucked up in bed, and it wasn't even 11 o'clock. The early start proving too much for these old chooks. When I left Inverness yesterday afternoon, the rest of the hens were just getting started on round two of the weekend and getting ready for their cocktail masterclass. My cousin Angie, again easily identified as the bride-to-be with her fluff-enhanced L-plates. A hen party of older hens intent on once again attempting to show that they had plenty of life left in them. And from all accounts, they lasted longer last night than they did on Friday night. Today's gospel reading talks of sometimes having to acknowledge that putting new into old doesn't work. New wine in old wineskins can be messy. Jesus is talking about a new way of living, a new way of looking at our relationship with God. The passage we heard began with a question. Why was it that Jesus and his disciples didn't follow the same rules as John the Baptist and his followers, or those of the Pharisees? The example given is of fasting and praying. Jesus' response is to use the example of a wedding feast, with a pointer towards the celebration that ensues whilst the bridegroom is with them. Do you think you can make the guests at a wedding party go without food as long as the bridegroom is with them? Of course not. But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. The Pharisees had made a religion out of don't do this and don't do that. They were sucking the joy out of God's love. Jesus' new way was one of freedom. Freedom to live and freedom to love. Freedom to laugh and have fun, to enjoy life. A life of joy based on living out the love that Jesus commanded. Love God and love your neighbour is not intended to be a burden. The bridegroom that Jesus spoke of in his wee story is, of course, himself. The language he uses would have been familiar to those listening. They'd have known their Hebrew scriptures and would have known that God is often referred to as the bridegroom and Israel as the bride. In the same way, we might recognise the church today as Christ's bride. Weddings are fun occasions. They take a great deal of preparation. But in the midst of all the fun is a serious commitment between bride and bridegroom to love each other forever. Jesus is serious in his love for God's people. But he isn't so tied up in the do's and don'ts to miss the point. Weddings are a time of celebration, not fasting. Faith should be liberating and fun. I'm guessing many of us will have memories of years gone by when the church was guilty, perhaps at times, of being devoid of fun, when everything was serious and solemn. And of course, there are still times when that is appropriate. There's a lovely wee story about a little girl who goes to stay with her grandparents. They belong to a church where the Sabbath is a day for going to church and for nothing else. And on the Sunday after church, they return to her grandparents' cottage and she's told to sit in a chair and not to move. Of course, she gets bored. And she asks if she might be allowed to go outside into the garden. Her grandparents relent and say yes, so long as she doesn't run about making a noise. So off she goes and has a wee walk down the garden to the back fence. In the field on the other side of the fence, there's a donkey. It wanders over to the wee girl, its face looking sad in the way that a donkey's face does. And the wee girl looks at him sadly and says, "You got religion too." Is that really the image of life, a life of faith that we want to project? Is that what Jesus wants us to project? Of course not. Faith isn't something you find by keeping a set of rules. Faith is about loving God, loving Jesus, and we all know that no one can be forced to love. You can't pick up a manual and read how to love. Love is something you feel here, deep inside. That's not to say that there aren't things we can do to keep faith and love alive. We need to look after our faith and work at it. Turning now to the parable about new cloth not being used to mend old clothes and of new wine needing to be put in new wineskins and not old ones. The Church of Scotland, like many churches, is facing up to the need to do something to stem the decline in both membership and numbers attending worship. Internally, at a national level, a review is underway, looking to come up with a radical plan for the structures of the church that will make it fit for the 21st century. Locally, the presbytery is currently looking at its presbytery plan, looking at how best to minister to the whole of Aberdeen Presbytery going forward. And this coming week, a group made up of committee and core group conveners will meet to start looking at creating a new development plan for us here in this church, the local church. These reviews and planning exercises can be unsettling. The idea of change can make people fight to hang on to their idea of what church is. The old ways taking on a rose-tinted hue. Back in the day, the hymns were always great. Back in the day, the church was always full. Back in the day, there were hundreds of children in Sunday school. Ah, yes, those days. If only. The harsh reality is that times have changed and in many ways the church has failed to keep up, hanging on by its fingertips to doing things the way it's aye been, being blind to the way the world around has changed, or worse still, deliberately ignoring it. And yet the irony is that the Church of Scotland is a church of the Reformed tradition. We grew out of a need for change. Our roots are in the Great Reformation of the 1560s. The challenge today is to find ways of finding new wine skins to fill with new wine at the same time as not upsetting too many who prefer the old wine skins. There are plenty of stories told of the challenges that individual congregations have faced when trying to blend the old and the new. The introduction of more modern worship songs and instruments, greater participation, even a change to a particular version of the Bible, have all provided ample fodder for disgruntled sighs from the traditionalists and impatient cries from the modernists. It has led to some congregations adopting different services with different flavours, which can lead to essentially different congregations meeting within the same church. Perhaps this gives an insight into the complexity of the situation that Jesus is addressing at the end of chapter 5 in Luke's Gospel. How do you mix the old with the new? Can you find a perfect compromise that hacks everyone off to the same degree? Or are you better accepting that if something new is going to happen, then relish it and enjoy it, absorbing the attendant cost? What place is there for traditional in the meantime? Does it have to be either or can you work at both and? Forcing the new into the old is no good. Just like a new piece of cloth sewn into an old garment will shrink on washing, whereas the old is already shrunken, ripping itself apart. Just like new wine still fermenting, placed in an inflexible old wineskin that is already stretched, will place too much pressure on it, and the wineskin will burst and spill the precious wine and ruin the skin. This is a real challenge for churches today that may be sensing that they have become the old garment, the old wineskin, no longer able to adapt to the new situation around them in their communities and culture. Are they still appropriate? Yes, for those for whom these forms of worship and Christian living are still meaningful, but perhaps no for those who are finding ways to be church and to live Jesus' way within their own very different context. Luke, the author of this gospel and the book of Acts, knew only too well the struggles of a new community of faith growing out of an older tradition. How we today hold the two in balance, enjoying and supporting them both, is our great challenge in a time of continuing change. I know I've quoted Edward Marquardt several times before, indeed I did so just last week, but it's only because he sometimes has a great way of making a point. In writing on this particular passage and the subject of new wine in relation to the church, he writes this. In the church, when there is new wine, let me tell you, there will be new wineskins. That is the way it always has been. The church has always been finding new wineskins in every generation and every culture throughout human history. That doesn't mean the essence of Christianity has changed. It only means the cultural wrappings are forever changing. The message of Jesus Christ and his eternal love from the cross never changes, but the wrappings of this message constantly change. The book of Hebrews, he continues, says that Christ was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that is true. But the wineskins are forever changing. We Christians will forever create new songs and new liturgy and new languages and new forms. Otherwise, the new wine of Jesus Christ will burst the old wine bags. When I meet with wedding couples to discuss their wedding ceremony, I stress to them that the most important part of the day is the moment that they commit to each other by exchanging vows. The rest is the wrappings. I will do my best to ensure that that moment that they look into each other's eyes and promise to love each other through thick and thin is as special as possible. Everything else is secondary to that moment. The same goes for church. At the core of everything we do is our commitment to God and God's commitment to us. Nothing can change the sacrificial love of God for God's people. How we do church makes not a jot of difference to that. God doesn't love us more or love us less because of what hymns we sing or what instruments we sing along to. God doesn't love us more or love us less because of the Bible translation that we use. God doesn't love us more or love us less if we prefer to this evening's sun goes down service over the Sunday morning service, or if messy church gets your vote. The Church Without Walls report to the General Assembly of 2001 is being revisited as part of the radical plan for the future that the Central Church is developing. It was a report that 18 years ago was a rallying cry for change. And yet here we are in 2019 revisiting it, hopefully not 18 years too late. In the summary of the report, we read these words. The Church works where people join together, building relationships with each other and the community to which they belong. It's through these relationships that the gospel is spread. In each place, the church is different. There is no one model that fits all. We rejoice in the diversity within the church. We celebrate and encourage it. Recognizing the diversity of who we are as a congregation is worth celebrating. I've long held that the strength of the Church of Scotland is indeed its diversity. Different people at various stages of spiritual development, having different theological ideas, different tastes in music, liturgy, worship, all in community with one another. Yes, it's a challenge and not without tension. But if we can be flexible enough to use new wineskins instead of old and flexible wineskins, then we have a starting point for the future. The work of thinking about our future began at our conference in September, and it continues this week as the group meets to look more closely at the thoughts shared on that day. Please pray for the group that we can begin to create a vision for this church that will take us forward into the next decade and beyond. Amen.